It's that time of year when New Year's resolutions are made, and for many of us, that means resolutions concerning our finances. Saving more, getting out of debt, putting more money away for retirement, that kind of thing.
It does sound awfully familiar because we make these resolutions year after year, but then we wind up falling off the wagon in the weeks and months after January 1st. So how do we make sure we're setting realistic financial goals and then sticking to them?
Here with some ideas and tips is David Backey. He writes about budgeting, money management, and investing, and he's a financial contributor for the website Money Crashers. David, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So it's a new year. A lot of us are making financial New Year's resolutions. At least we have some new intentions that we may want to put into play. And when we're making these resolutions, what are the pitfalls that we need to be careful of?
Probably one of the biggest pitfalls to be careful about is making your goals too aggressive. It can be real easy to do that, especially if you have a lot of credit card debt, for example. But if you're too aggressive with your goals, then you're basically setting yourself up for failure, because eventually you're going to see that you're not going to be able to reach your goal, and in that case, you run the risk of just giving up on it.
Should we be making the resolutions earlier? Is January kind of too late into the year to be making them? Is that a problem?
Actually, I don't think January's too late at all. I mean, when it comes to improving your finances, it's never too late.
Well, what are some things we can do to get our financial house in order as we head into January?
Probably the first thing to do would be to get on a personal budget. That's usually a phrase that most people aren't too thrilled about, but it's really the only way that you're going to get your financial house in order. It really doesn't take that long to set up. If you're internet savvy at all, you could use a website like Mint. That's a free budgeting website. You could also set up an Excel spreadsheet on your own. And basically what you want to do is put your income in one column, put all your monthly expenses in the other, and from there, the goal is to get your spending underneath what you're bringing in.
Does it just come down to sheer willpower? What if we're not meeting our goals when it comes to that budget that we set?
If you're not meeting your goals, the best thing to do is just scale them back into goals that are actually attainable. Again, it really depends on where you're at currently with credit card debt and things of that nature. But as long as you're taking that first step, that's one of the most important things you can do. If you end up having to scale back a goal, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, because anything that you're doing to improve your finances, you're going to benefit from.
Another common financial goal might be something along the lines of people wanting to save more money, put more away for the rough times, for the unexpected car expense or home repair. What are the specific steps that we might take to get that accomplished?
Well, when you say save more money, that's rather a broad topic. When it comes to creating your New Year's resolutions, financial or otherwise, it's important that you make them SMART. And by that, I mean that's in the acronym SMART. And what that stands for is that the goal should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So instead of just saying to yourself, this year I'm going to try to save more money, a better strategy would be to come up with a goal such as, I want to save $50 per month each month on all of my monthly bills. That way it's more specific than just the broader goal of saving more money. It's something that should be fairly easily attainable, and you've got the timeliness factor to it as well.
And what's a good way? So you've got it specific. What about, you know, using an automatic transfer in your account? Is that an easy way to get it done?
That's actually a great way. I mean, even if you set it up to where you have $20 out of each paycheck sent to a separate savings account, by the end of the year, you're going to have close to $500.
Yeah, it does add up, and as long as you don't squirrel into it, little things can make a big difference, right?
Absolutely.
Well, another common resolution is dealing with debt that we have. And for a lot of people, that's overwhelming. During the recession, and especially the peak of it, I know a lot of people were working harder at getting rid of debt. So what is a good place to start there?
The best The best way to start addressing your debts is, again, to get yourself on that personal budget. Once you know what you're bringing in on a monthly basis, you know what's going out on a monthly basis, then you look for ways to reduce all of your monthly expenses, and there are a variety of ways to reduce what you pay on all your monthly bills and groceries as well. And once you have, let's say, for example, you get yourself to where you're bringing in $100 more each month than what you're spending. From there, you just commit to devoting that extra $100 to your credit card debts until they're in the rearview mirror, hopefully for good.
Now, you said there are a bunch of different ways that we can decrease what we spend. Why don't you run us through some of those?
Well, on your monthly bills, the main ones are cable TV, your smartphone data plan, and your internet service. If you're not currently locked into a contract with your provider, there are always teaser deals going on through other providers that give you months of free service, free gift cards, lower monthly rates. The benefits really run the gamut. And if you are locked into a contract, another effective strategy to reduce your bills is to simply call in and ask for a discount. A lot of people don't know that, but with competition being so high in all of those areas, these companies will do anything to retain your business. And sometimes just by making that phone call, you can get $10 or $20 knocked off your monthly service.
So usually if you're calling one of these big companies, maybe a cable company, you get an operator who may or may not even be in your state. Are those the people you can ask for a discount, or do you have to talk to someone or ask for someone in charge in particular?
If you're not getting anywhere with the person that you originally speak with, your best bet is to ask for a manager, or better yet, just ask for the customer retention department. Those are the folks that can definitely apply discounts to your account.
Okay, customer retention department. I don't even know if I've heard that term before. I've heard of customer relations, but customer retention.
Yep, they have entire departments dedicated to making sure they hold on to their customers.
Well, we're talking about achieving our financial resolutions in the new year, and we'll pick up that conversation in just a moment. And we also want to hear from you. What are your financial goals for the coming year? How are you planning on achieving them? And if you're making financial New Year's resolutions, how are you planning on sticking with them? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about financial resolutions with David Backe. And you can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can tell us about your financial goals for the new year, and David will help you figure out how to make sure that you keep them. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And David, we have an email from Roxanne in Madison who says, my financial goal for 2014 is to get out of credit card debt. I'm going to try to stop using my credit card and to pay off 10% of my debt every month. Do you have any tips for breaking the credit card habit?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that she's definitely come up with a smart goal, because she's got it specific and she's got all the other attributes in there as well. So that's a great goal for her to have. As far as breaking the credit card habit, I'd say your best bet would be to stick them in a drawer for a month and pay for everything with cash. That way, once there's no more cash left in your wallet or your purse, then you're done spending for the month.
Oh, well, that's an interesting way to go. Cash. So would you have to take out a giant lump of cash and keep it, you know, like my grandparents did, in a lockbox or something?
Well, when I say cash, I mean you can either pay for cash or use your debit card. Because with your debit
card,
you're never going to retain any debts.
What about reassessing retirement plans? Is January a good time to start thinking about that?
January is actually a really good time to reassess your retirement plans, because one thing that a lot of people don't know about is that you can actually make contributions to your, or to most individual retirement accounts, up until April 15th of this year and have them applied to the previous year. So, for example, if now that 2013 has already passed, if you didn't get all the way up to the contribution limit, which I believe is $5,500 for last year, you can go ahead and make another contribution, get yourself up to that limit, and have it applied to the previous year.
We're talking right now about financial resolutions for 2014 with our guest David Backey, and you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you've got questions or comments or just need some advice on how to get started, our guest is here for you now. And in terms of charitable giving, that's something that obviously there's a big push for around the holidays. Now that we're sort of through the holiday season, is it still a good idea to give charitably?
As far as doing that right now, that would really depend on the current state of your finances. You know, this is typically part of the year where lots of people may not necessarily be struggling, but they just got done spending a heck of a lot of money on Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, holiday gifts, entertaining friends, all of that stuff. So if you don't feel as though you can handle it right now, there's nothing wrong with waiting, because you can make your contributions at any point in time throughout the year and still get a tax break on them.
We've got an email here. This is from Tim in Cedarburg, and he says, this year I'm trying to attack anything bringing down my credit score. I have an outstanding bill I plan to pay from a third party, and after I pay, how will I know this is no longer affecting my credit score?
Best way to do that would be to run your credit report after that payment gets made. And actually, you can do that for free by going to the website Annual Credit Report. If you go to just about any other website, they're going to try and charge you money, and there's no need to pay money for that, because you can do it once each year for free from each of the three credit reporting agencies. I believe it's TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax.
All right, so it should happen that quickly?
It's probably going to take a little bit of time for it to post. I would say maybe 30 days afterwards, go ahead and check your report.
And what if Tim does that and he doesn't see a shift? What does it mean?
If he doesn't see that his information has been updated, the first place to go is to contact the business where the bill came from. And if he doesn't have any luck there, then there is a dispute process you can open up online with any of those three credit reporting websites.
Well, it's January 2nd, but I guess it's never too early to start thinking about our taxes. Is there stuff that we should be doing right now to get ready for taxes and get things organized and thought through?
The best way to get yourself organized for tax return time is to start preparing all of your receipts and statements and whatnot, especially regarding itemized deductions. There's lots of things that you can deduct. A couple of them are unreimbursed medical expenses, certain job search expenses, things of that nature. And if you're not currently itemizing, you may want to consider looking into that when it comes time to prepare your return, because in a lot of cases, you're leaving money on the table by simply taking the standard deduction.
Okay. And in terms of investments, let's say we want to start investing in 2014, and this is not something maybe that we've had experience with before. What's a good place to start?
The best place to start as far as retirement investing would be your employer's 401k plan. It's usually the easiest place to go to get started. Your contributions will be taken out of your paycheck before taxes, so you get that benefit. And it's also done automatically, so it's not something that you have to monitor going forward.
And what if you want to get in on the stock market and it's not necessarily for retirement and you want to invest in that sense?
Wow, investing in the stock market for someone that's never done it before, that's probably a bit of a risky option. I would tread lightly before going that route.
Maybe get a financial planner, help you figure out some safe things to do.
You should absolutely consult with a financial professional before trying to strike out on your own.
So a bunch of things here that we've talked about. in terms of financial resolutions, what should we be doing to make sure that we actually stick to them and they don't just sort of fade away as the days go by?
The best way to stay on track with your financial resolutions is, first of all, to get them written out on a piece of paper. It's not going to do you much good just to come up with them in your head. They need to be written down. And keep that document handy with you some throughout the year, whether it's in your home office or somewhere at work. And then I would recommend once every 3 months or so to break that document out, see how you're doing on things, and then decide whether or not you need to scale back a goal, or if you're doing particularly well on one of your goals, you could even make it more aggressive.
Now, let's say you're trying to do something like quit smoking or lose weight. You might give yourself a little reward when you hit a goal. Is that the same kind of thing that we should be doing when we make financial New Year's resolutions?
Absolutely. Say, for example, your goal is to reduce your credit card debt by $1,000. Once you get the first $250 out of the way, there's nothing wrong with giving yourself a little pat on the back. Even though that may seem counterintuitive to the topic of paying off credit card debt, it's those little kinds of rewards that are that are going to also help you stay on track to reach your ultimate goal.
What about just in general trying to be more frugal, to make do with less, and to have more of a strong financial foundation underneath us? Do you have any tips for that?
The best way to live frugally is to take an objective look at your financial life and eliminate what's unnecessary. For example, a lot of people still have a home telephone line, which may or may not be a necessity in their life. If they can get by with their mobile phone, that's $40 to $50 a month you can cross off the list. Trips to convenience stores, besides for filling up your gas tank, are generally unnecessary as well. Things like snacks and sodas, newspapers, lottery tickets. You just don't need to be spending your money on that kind of thing.
So really you're talking about just taking a hard look at things and figuring out what honestly could go if you're honest with yourself.
Absolutely. And one of the best pieces of advice I can give you as far as living frugally is every time you go to spend your money on anything, whether you're buying a bag of potato chips or you're thinking about getting a new flat screen television, is take a step back and ask yourself, do I really need to buy this? And if you answer that question objectively, most of the time you're going to come up with the answer of, no, I don't need this.
David, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some tools to work with here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to David Baggy. He writes about budgeting, money management, and investing, and he's a financial contributor for the website Money Crashers.